Today on Straight Talk Africa, President Joseph Kabila will not seek a third term in the upcoming December 23 elections. Emmanuel Ramzani Shadari, a former interior minister, will be the presidential candidate for the ruling party coalition for the election. The announcement came Wednesday as the Electoral Commission concludes the official registration process for the presidential candidate to participate in the December elections. We'll discuss the latest political development in the DRC ahead of the upcoming elections. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters in Washington. I'm Peter Clotty. Shaka Sali is on assignment.
And hello to all of our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Haydee Adams-Fitzpatrick, and I'll be your social media reporter.
Today we are discussing politics in the DRC as the Electoral Commission concludes the official registration process for presidential candidates to participate in the December elections.
And coming up a little later on, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook and Twitter comments. We're going to reveal some of them ahead here on Straight Talk Africa.
The run-up to the Democratic Republic of Congo's elections is grabbing headlines throughout the nation. One cartoonist in Kinshasa is using art and satire to illustrate the current political climate. VOA's Haydee Fitzpatrick has our report.
Kashun Tembo puts the final touches to his drawings here at his studio in Kinshasa. He goes by the pen name Cash and is one of the country's most prominent cartoonists, known for using satire and comedy to delve into serious topics. Right now, Cash is drawing attention to the biggest story in the DRC, the run-up to the December presidential elections. For weeks now, it has dominated the headlines, the battle over President Joseph Kabila's succession and questions around exiled opposition leader Moïse Katumbi's chances of contesting the election.
Here they are trying to stop him from entering the door. This is not even a caricature. I only show what's been happening and I illustrate it.
Katumbi is one of Kabila's main rivals. He left the DRC in 2016 after the government accused him of plotting against the president. He was twice barred from coming home to register as a candidate. Then there's the unlikely comeback of Kabila's other rival, ex-warlord and former vice president Jean-Pierre Bemba, back in Kinshasa after the International Criminal Court overturned his war crimes conviction, freeing him from a decade behind bars in The Hague. Unlike Katumbi, Bemba was allowed to land his plane and given police protection to return to town. Bemba filed his candidacy last week. President Kabila's popularity has waned over the years. Bemba and Katumbi each have a significant supporter base. On the streets of Kinshasa, some are worried a splintered, poorly organized opposition could jeopardize the country's chance for change.
The opposition will lose if it does not manage to choose a candidate. The ruling majority will stay in power and will have the same government, and nothing will change. But we want change. We want other people to rule and offer something different. That will bring progress to the country.
At his studio, Cash says a steady approach to the election is needed.
I think the best attitude to adopt right now is not to play with fire. There are so many problems. People live day by day in never-ending misery. It's not a sustainable situation. It needs to stop. I think that if we have a little sense of responsibility, we can ensure that these elections take place in an acceptable climate. Because if the elections are not well organized, they could spark a general explosion, and no one wishes for that.
What many are wishing for is a free, fair, and peaceful election in December for a country caught in a bloody cycle of violence and political turmoil. Haydee Adams-Fitzpatrick, VOA News.
Thanks, Haydee, for that report. Today I'm joined by Idrissa Fall, my colleague from the French to Africa service, Jean-Claude Nkongolo, president of the Congolese United for Change in the DRC, a political pressure group, and Gilbert Mundela, former representative of the Opposition Union for Democracy and Social Progress in the U.S. Welcome to you all.
Thank you for having us.
Right, let me come to you, Idrissa Fall. Following the latest development, you've been reporting and monitoring situations in Kinshasa, particularly, and across the country in the DRC. Were you surprised by the latest announcement by Lambert Mende, the information minister of the DRC?
No.
Why?
I think there were names, because they had been repeating since the past year, the President Kabila gonna respect the constitution. That is what they were saying. And whenever I ask Lambert all this past year, he would say, Idriss, we will not say what we're going to do. The time coming, we're going to announce who's going to represent our coalition, is what they did. The guy they choose, Emmanuel Ramazani, today, he used to be a political science teacher up there in Maniema, and then during that period of Mobutu, he was member of the opposition, real opposition at that time, of Mr. Etienne Tshisekedi. And then later he broke and went to join Kabila Faber first, and then the son of Joseph Kabila. Since then, I think during the PPRD, the party of Mr. Kabila, he was the one in charge of elections since 2005. And he still is the executive secretary or permanent secretary of that party. And before the first meeting they held in that farm of Mr. Kabila, his name was coming out more and more. And people are calling him former Minister of Interior, but he was Minister of Interior for a very, very brief period, couple of weeks, I think, during that.
More than a couple of weeks.
But very brief. And then since then, this guy is the head of the party and is the head of the coalition. And the party normally is supposed to have a president, and I guess that now that Mr. Kabila is not running, he may become now the president of the Common Front of Congo, which is the coalition of the party. So, surprised? No.
Will he? Is he that popular in the DRC? Because,
well,
the announcement seemed to have shocked a lot of people.
To be honest, myself, I had been covering Congo, he knows, since 1987. I cannot say who is popular or not, because Etienne Tshisekedi was very popular. Laurent Désiré Kabila himself think he was very popular. So I don't know. Everybody can say I'm popular. Jean-Pierre Bemba can say I'm popular. Since it is a country, you never have a measurable election, fair and free, where you can say who is who. It's very difficult for me. It's like all the radios doing themselves their own pools. Each radio can come back and tell you, yes, I did my own pool. I'm the first radio in Congo. But to measure it, I think you have to have very fair election, which happened very rarely in Congo, because the transmission of power in Congo since 1960, mostly, he knows, it's rebellions and rebellions and rebellions.
Mm. Jean-Claude, let me come to you. So are you expecting, for the first time in the country's history, to have a smooth transfer of power from President Joseph Kabila to the person who wins the December 23rd general election, presidential?
All right, so let me be very frank. It's a very good step right now, but we're not certain that the election is going to take place, a balanced, fair election is going to take place. The reason I'm saying this is because before this announcement, we've seen a number of things that the governing party have done. They have changed, for example, the court. They have placed judges who can support them when they make decisions. So they have reinforced the security forces. They even place people that are under sanctions right now, like John Numbi, the General John Numbi. Like, people have committed crimes, like people know for a fact. They place them back into the game. So the commission, the person who's running the elections, a number of people in Congo believe is not impartial.
Why do you say that?
Because the majority of people, they don't want those voting machines, but it's persisting. A number of people have raised their concerns with respect to 10 millions of, or 6 or 10 millions of people who are not on the system, but they don't have fingerprints, but they haven't done nothing. So there is an example of reporters, right, from different parties. Like UDPS has somebody they want to change. It has been a very long time. They're still not responding positively to that particular change that UDPS want. Mm. So these examples tells me there is somebody who's giving them instructions to do those things. So in order for the elections to be peaceful, those preconditions need to be met. So otherwise, we want to make sure before the elections and after the elections, they feel is level so everybody can accept the result of the elections.
Idrissa, I understand you wanted to come in, but before I come to you, let me come to you, Gilbert. What is your reaction about the latest development in the DRC? Finally, after unease, after the opposition group known as Rassemblement put pressure on President Kabila to declare that he will not seek additional terms, today the government made an announcement. Are you happy now?
One can only look at it and say it's a way to respond to the three major conditions that Kabila faced. One is to declare himself not candidate, which he did. But I will go to Idrissa and say, if Kabila was to respect the constitution, he should have done it in 2016. He refused to do it and play games to try to find a way to run, and didn't work. The pressure has been so high on him that he couldn't do anything else but to bow. When you look at the second condition, which is the voting machine, and I think what Jean-Pierre Mbemba demonstrated, I give him credit to that, was sufficient to give Mr. Nanga second thoughts, because they went in and tried a test, voting. It took Nanga about 6 minutes. Mbemba took him about 8 to 9 minutes. So if somebody with the intelligence of Mbemba as well as the intelligence of Nanga takes this many minutes to vote, how will it be with the people in the interior, in the rural area, in places where they don't have access even to computer? That shows already that this voting machine is not the thing that we should go for. Clearly demonstrated that even if we use that voting machine, it will take only 200 people to vote in a day. So what will you do with the others? It means that you have to prolong the number of days for elections. It's not going to work. So the machine has to be completely disregarded and put out. The third issue is that the registration. If you have people who don't have a digital fingerprint, and then you have people who we don't know who they're from, it's going to be creating problems. We need to look into that very seriously. And if the international community wants to have sound, credible election in the Congo, those two other conditions have to be looked upon very seriously and resolved right now. But the other key issue is going to be the security. Because security is not solved in the Congo. The insecurity is too high for people who are campaigning, for people who are moving from left and right. And this issue is going to create problems for all the candidates. So we have to make sure that we have resolved this issue before we can go into the campaign. The fact that Kabila has made his choice, it's okay. But remember, the east, where Mr. Shadari comes from, is an area where we had problems of having a lot of people who are not registered correctly. So if we keep this machine, you're going to have a victory for Shadari based on the fact that the register are not well cleaned. So we have to look into this. The international community have to look into this very seriously, and we have to agree on what we're going to do. The other thing I would like to point before I let you ask your question is that I understand that President Cyril Ramaphosa might be in Congo on this Friday to try to have the field open for everybody. How will Kabila react to that? Is he going to open up again? So that will create another delay. Is it going to close? That will create another problem. So we are still wondering which way this game is going, because if Cyril comes to say, you need to open up, it's going to create problems in the Congo.
All right, Idrisa, before I come to you, before pausing for a short break, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming live on Facebook. To watch our show, just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, and don't forget to share it with your friends. We are on Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOADRC, and we'll air some of your comments later in the show. We'll be right back.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the DRC latest development. So your reaction to the comments from these two gentlemen, Idrisa?
Well, when I heard Gilbert talking about the machine, we are today in August, September, October, November, December. Okay, you want to change the voting machine? So you better have something you're going to put in place of the voter machine. You're talking about registration, and we have only 4 months left. So to redo all the counting of the 80 million people in Congo, you cannot do that in 4 months. He knows that. And security, he knows until we're speaking, people are dying up there in North Kivu, in the region of Beni, because you have ADF Nalu guys, some Islamists there, some Mai Mai who are killing people there. In the South Kivu, it's the same thing. Every rebel group is there. From time to time, they go shopping, killing people. And I put aside the Kasai region. He knows all of that. So that insecurity is there. Even now we have Ebola coming up there in the Beni region, and you want a whole election. If you want to solve that in 4 months, go ahead. Or if you want it to have solved, it means that you're going to report again the election. And if you report the election, Mr. Kabila will stay president until you have election, is what they had been saying since the beginning. So they better know what they want. Either you won election on December 23rd and you created the condition as it was in 2011, as it was in 2006, you have some reason you don't have access to it. And so you do what you have. It's the only thing. But all those conditions, if you want to satisfy them, I guarantee there will be no election on December 23rd. And Mr. Kabila will say at that time, guys, I'm going to stay here until you find somebody who's going to replace me.
So more time for President
Kabila. He knows.
Gilbert, let me come to you.
This was expected. And this is the game Kabila has played all along. He knew that he has to play this way for us to get to a point where we say, hey, there is no way we can do it. He's trying to lay the fault on the opposition and say, the opposition asked for this, so we have to stay in this game. The reality is this. There is a possibility to make the bulletin printed. Nigeria had 140 million people. Eh? Mm-hmm. They did it in 2 months. So it can be done for the to do the manual voting. We have the equipment that was there from the first elections. Kabila had two free elections under his condition, under his pretenses. Everything was done to please him. Right now, we have to get the chance to give Congo a new path to democracy, to free election, and it has to be done right. The trouble, the insecurity, is a man-made insecurity for the purpose of delaying the elections. So he knows it very well. We cannot play the game.
It has nothing to do with Joseph Kabila.
Not saying you have anything to do with Kabila. All I'm saying, the fact are known that Kabila has played the game to delay the elections.
Because he does not have an army, what can
Jesus
he do?
Christ.
All of them are former rebels.
Hold on, Phil. Jean-Paul, let me come to you. Mr. Enanga was on VOA saying that the Electoral Commission, CNE, is engaging all opposition parties to address their concerns before the elections. And then there's a nationwide voter sensitization ongoing to address some of these concerns. Why are Congolese not pleased, particularly the opposition forces?
Okay, so that's a good step, right? But if you observe, the majority party, they have never complained about what Nanga is doing. That gives you a clue. There's a consensus. They talk about those things because think about the ref, right? So if you're in the middle, right? So if one side has complained and the other side has got to complain as well. But if you take a look closely, you see the only side that is complaining about these elections is the opposition party. And then the governing party is going along with what is going on. That tells you they're talking, they know what is going on there. That's number one. Number two, let's not forget, there is a law for the elections. Within the law, there is no voting machine. So why insert the voting machine now?
Hold on, that's a big question. But before you say that, the Electoral Commission is the only institution mandated by the Constitution to organize and administer elections in the country. Mm-hmm. If using the machines would make it more efficient and effective for people to vote, why not? Does it have to be stipulated in the Constitution before they do
that? That's a good point. You got to remember, the Democratic Republic, the Republic of Congo, is not well developed, which means they are part of the province. They don't have electricity. They have never been accustomed to those technology. That's number one. You have to train them to do that. It's going to take time. Number two. So if you want to go with the machines, and then the opposition, there's a law, right? There is an electoral law. That does not include the use of voting machines. So you just inserted those things on your own. That's a problem. Number three, they always complain about not having enough funds, right? Those machines cost more than paper ballot. They cost a lot more. For every single machine, guess what? The Republic Democratic of Congo is very corrupt. The price of the machine is being exacerbating. They're exaggerating even the price. So that to suck a lot of money from the government. At the end of the day, they're going to say, okay, we don't have enough money, so let's postpone the elections.
But Mr. Nanga says they have all the funds they need, although the government rejected support from the international community and perhaps MONUSCO, the UN mission there, to give them logistical support. But let me come to you.
We don't have any proof.
Risa, you heard what they are saying. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that for the money issues, the government itself say that everybody knows the price of cobalt on whatever Congo is rich of, the prices are going up and up and up, and even they adopted a new
mining code.
Mining code. Right. So I think there's a lot of money coming inside the house. I don't know where do they put it, but to finance. It is not like in 2011 or 2016, then there was begging people to give them money, and at the end they say they did not receive any money from anybody, and those elections never happened in 2016. But this time it's different. I think the government of Congo has the money to finance the thing, and without even needing to ask anything. It's what I think. Would they put the money down there? I don't know.
Mr. Enanga on VOA said they have the money. They've gotten the money that a government promised them, and they're going to use that to administer the election. Now, let me come to you, Gilbert. Mr. Enanga also said that these machines, voter machines, will be battery operated, so there's no need for electricity. And the lifespan of the battery for a day of election is more than 48 hours. Peter, so why are you so displeased with it?
Peter,
talk to me.
We are here trying to put Congo on a new path.
Okay.
A new path means a rupture, a really completely not going through the old path. Corruption, warlords, and all these anti-values that we embedded in our country. Why would Nanga take on his own a decision to impose a voting machine that is not recognized by law, nor the Constitution? That's already a violation of everything we are standing for. We cannot continue going in this kind of shenanigans and saying that we are trying to organize a fair election in the Congo. This is a joke. Nanga is playing a game that is going to lead us to chaos. We should not accept this kind of thing. If, let's say, they have the money, why they don't disburse it in proper way so people can see where the money is going and what is going on with that money? The government has not done that. So it's just a charade that we are seeing here that is trying to lead us into some traps where we will rise and say, we are not in accord with this.
So is the opposition hopeless or helpless in this case to address some of these concerns you're raising?
No.
Because they are legitimate.
No, have raised them, and we are continuing to raise them.
Are you going to the court then to address some of these
concerns? Which court would you trust in the Congo? The court. Kabila made it very clear. That's why I keep on telling Idris that Mr. Kabila has a playing field that is favorable for him. He has done everything, from changes in the army, from the judicial system. He has made cronies that are going to obey to his order, so they can look at it, this is a good election, and we agree. This is a game play that we are seeing there. If we get the machine out, we get the registration clean up, I bet we're going to have elections that are solid. And the other thing that we have to do really is to have the security issue addressed. If MONUSCO will play a good role in securitizing the people,
it is not their job.
To address the issue,
you know,
of security.
The UN,
mandate can be
UN
organized.
Was not sent into DRC to secure the people. They were sent there for a peacekeeping mission. You know that.
What does mean peacekeeping if you are not securing the people?
The biggest UN operation on earth, because you have rebel fighting down there. You remember when and they come there.
This is what I'm saying.
So they did not come there to protect Gilbert Mundela.
No, I'm not saying to protect Gilbert Mundela.
It is not their
job. I'm saying to protect the people. What is peace mission?
You have an army.
What is the nature of the peace mission if it's not protecting the
peacekeeping.
People?
Peacekeeping.
Okay, excuse me. Peacekeeping. We have concerned about the way MONUSCO has operated in regard to the peacekeeping operations. You have people being raped, violated 500 meters from them. They are not intervening. That's the problem we are having with MONUSCO.
So it is why the kids are going out in Beni and organizing rally against the UN. Because People are being killed by those rebel Ugandan rebels, yes. And the UN, his mission is not there to go fighting rebels.
Therefore, how do you want the political leader?
Ask the UN.
How do you want the political leader to
come
go
there
and do campaigns?
Hold on. We'll come back to that. Hold on, Jean-Claude. I'll come back to you. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So don't go away.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Heidi Fitzpatrick. Over to you, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Peter. The Democratic Republic of Congo hasn't had a peaceful transfer of power since it gained independence from Belgium almost 6 decades ago. But now it is preparing to hold presidential elections in December. President Joseph Kabila said on Wednesday that he is not running for re-election. And so this leads us to our question of the week, in which we asked, what is the way forward for the DRC? Let's start here with a tweet from Yao Noah Nash, who writes, I believe the private sector needs to be set up to manage the mineral resources so that the revenue can be shared equally among the fighting parties. I believe this is the way forever to end the war. Well, now to our social media comment of the week from Facebook fan Omunua Okugba from Abuja, Nigeria. He writes, the priority of the Democratic Republic of Congo should be to serve the needs of its citizens. Its people must be thoroughly educated to produce wealth and take care of the health needs of the masses. Charismatic and visionary leadership should be the emphasis at this time and not merely the casting of votes every 5 years. Let's go to another comment from Facebook fan David Onserio of Monda. He writes, I think the problem in the DRC is that the country is bigger than Kabila. Replacing Kabila will be treating the symptoms and not the disease, which is the rot left from colonial misrule. Our last Facebook comment comes from Ninsima Gideon. He's in Kampala, Uganda. And he says, Kabila should go, for he has overstayed in power, thus denying others the chance to contest fairly. A reminder for you that, as always, we appreciate all of your feedback. If you are a new fan, do drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. You can comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keyword you see here on your screen, Straight Talk Africa. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. You can also join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa and do follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, or simply go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page. That is on our website. And you can always watch us live on your mobile device. Download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what is ahead for next week's program.
Next, Straight Talk Africa. Fresh off a two-nation visit to Zimbabwe and Malawi, Shaka Sali talks about the fascinating people he met and the challenges he encountered reporting on democracy in Africa. On the road with Shaka Sali on the next Straight Talk Africa.
And that is it for today's social media segment. Peter, you and your guests, of course, have a lot of social media comments to discuss. I'm going to hand it back to you.
Thanks very much, Heidi. Today we are talking about politics in the DRC with Idrissa Fall from VOA's French to Africa service. My colleague Jean-Claude Nkongolo, president of the Congolese United for Change in DRC, a political pressure group, and Gilbert Mondela, former representative of the Opposition Union for Democracy and Social Progress in the U.S. Now, before we went on that break, Jean-Claude, you were trying to make your point. What is your point?
The point I'm trying to make is this. This is Kabila's game right now, right? So, and in the opposition party, they need to stay focused, right? That's what they want. They want to create chaos so that way they lose their target. So it's time for them to organize themselves. So the governing party has one candidate now. Now is more, it's time for them more than ever to pull themselves together to put somebody forward who can go head toe-to-toe against their particular candidate they have right now. So if they waste time fighting, they waste time, you know, going into each other and those kind of thing, they're going to lose this. That's what Kabila's want, right? So they have about five candidates right now. I know for sure they're credible, right? They have Félix Tshisekedi. They have Moise Katumbi.
Well, he's not going there.
He's not going there because
right?
he was prevented, but yeah, okay, it hasn't right. accepted that yet, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They have Jean-Pierre Bemba. They have Martin Fayulu. They have
Vital
Kamerhe. Mm-hmm. So these are the five ones, the leading ones. There are a bunch of them behind them. So if you look among those five, so you see four of them have been part of the system. So what the Congolese people want now is not only President Kabila out of power, they want the entire system, right, mm-hmm. out of power, mm-hmm. right? So among the five, four of them have been part of the system, right? They have some issues with them. So this is going to suppress some vote. For example, Vital Kamerhe is not my point of view. That's the majority of Congolese. Vital Kamerhe, they are accusing Vital Kamerhe of being inconsistent. It can go with the flow, right? If it goes right, it goes right. If it goes left, it goes left. And the other thing is, it has his wife right now is a problem because the wife used to be one of the very popular musicians' wife. So I guarantee you, if it's the leading candidate, that musician is very popular, is people, is fanatics, they're not going to vote for Vital Kamerhe, right? That's one of the issues. It cannot be the leading candidate for the opposition party because some people are not going to turn out to vote for him. So Jean-Pierre Bemba has a provisionary release. It's been provisionally released. So it has still a cloud on top of him. So it's going to be very difficult to put Jean-Pierre Bemba as the leading candidate. Number one, because of the cloud. Number two, guess what? They just had a convention, and who was invited? Emmanuel Shadary, right? Congolese people usually think with their heart, emotions, rather than the brain. You see what I'm saying there, right? So Shadary was part of the convention of Bemba's party. So it's going to be a problem. So they're going to do a lot of work to convince people that that person was inviting for this. Congolese people are going to see this as a deal, right, between Shadary and Bemba. It's going to be very difficult to sell Bemba as the opposition leader. Katumbi is not even allowed to be there because they are so afraid of him. We don't know why. It was part of the system. The only options they have now, I think, some people are going to contradict me, is Félix Tshisekedi, right? The reason I'm saying is this. I do not want our people have suffered for so long. I do not want us, our people, to suffer any further. So they can sacrifice themselves. I'm not saying Félix Tshisekedi is the perfect candidate. I'm laying out the facts, right? There are a number of issues with other candidates. Félix Tshisekedi has never been part of that particular...
His dad wasn't the system for a long time, though.
But it's different.
Let me come to you. It appears the opposition parties are displeased with everything that is ongoing now. They demanded Kabila to come out and say, I am not seeking additional terms in office, else the elections will not happen. They will boycott the elections. Now the government says, we have chosen a candidate to represent the ruling party coalition. What is it now?
And remember, they know it is an election, presidential election. There is no runoff. Mm-hmm. No runoff.
Simple majority.
Simple majority. First time won, first time get it.
Every right. time get
okay?
It.
Yeah. So it's like in Cameroon.
Right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. And you have at least 9 candidates. Félix Tshisekedi, Jean-Pierre Bemba, Vital Kamerhe, and whoever is out there. And these guys, they just named Emmanuel. So mm-hmm. I say if the opposition is serious, they better sit among themselves, discuss, guys, how can we all of us bound our forces together and put our differences behind one person. That cannot be solved here in Straight Talk. They have to sit among themselves and discuss how to do it and do it if they want to won the election. If they don't do it, they are behind skirmishes and voting machines or whatever. They're going to lose their time. And these guys had been occupying the field since 2001 when Joseph Kabila arrived in power. They have the money. They have helicopters. They have boats. They can go everywhere they want. They have representatives everywhere. And you don't have time with you. You have 4 months. And those issues, if you don't solve them, I am telling you, after December 23rd, the PPRD is going to win because you don't organize election to lose them, and you're going to send kids to be killed in the street of Kinshasa.
But Idrissa, didn't they do this with the Rassemblement when they came up together to put pressure on the government? So they have a roadmap to copy. Why are they not doing so?
But they're discussing. I heard that there's some discussion among them, but discussing and finalizing is different because the time is very short.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, Peter,
Gilbert, yeah.
You see, let's not get emotional. Let's be just factual.
All right.
We have worked on this issue, and the decision was made that every candidate has to put register first, and then we will sit down and look at what is the best candidate options. And he just laid out some of the facts regarding all the leading candidates that we all know in the Congo currently. The fact of the matter is now the game is being closed, and we're going to meet sometimes next month, because by the 18th, we'll have the list of those who have been retained as real candidate. Until now, you cannot say that this one is candidate and this really is retained. By the 18 or the 18, there will be the list of the definite, the provisional list of candidate. Then next month, there will be the definitive list of candidate. So right now, it's a time for us to sit down and look at the situation and say, we're going to move forward, and this is the way forward. But one thing you have to understand is this. We want the election, and we know that in Africa, you don't organize election to lose them. But if we have a chance to stop the shenanigans that leads to the incumbents to win the elections, we must stand strong and say, this is not the right way to do it, because it will create chaos at the end of the day. And no one wants chaos in the Congo, because you saw what happened as Moïse was attempting to come into the Congo.
From Zambia.
The border was closed. No trucks carrying cobalt was moving. Everything was stopped. So everybody was looking at what's going on in Katanga. But fortunately, it didn't go far. It stopped. So right now, what we need to do is to create the right condition for elections to take place in the Congo. And this is part of the game that will lead to change. The change is not to change just Kabila is going. Kabila is the system that has to go. Because that system, if it goes, will have changes in the country in the proper way, in the democratic way. Otherwise, we're going to sink the country into chaos again.
Idrissa, before you go, Idrissa has to leave us in a short, so I give him the chance. Your reaction?
No, it's the same thing I was saying. The opposition, I think they must sit down seriously and discuss really what is the best way for all of them to win the election. If you don't do it, those guys are ready. I'm telling you, PPRD had been ready since 2016. And they were preparing this. They were playing game. No, Kabila will not say I'm going to leave or not leave. They knew who they're going to bring out. They have representatives everywhere in that huge country. And the opposition, they are short by the time. And they better sit seriously, discuss, guys, let's put our forces together and we pull out this guy will be our better representative. If they don't do it, I'm telling you, it will be the opposition in Kinshasa, in a huge country. After December 21st, they will lose, and then they ask kids in Kinshasa to go on the street, and they're going to get killed, as it happened and had been happening since 2016. And people have enough of those people's dead bodies. We have better to offer to the young Congolese. They have the right to have a bright future. It is one of the richest countries on the earth. And when you go beside Goma, people don't have even $1 a day for their food. That's not normal. It must stop. And real change must happen there. I don't know who should bring it. It's a country I love. I have been covering it for more than 40 years. The same poverty I left in Congo in 1987, when I go back there, it is the same thing.
It's worse.
There is no electricity. Let's say in Bandaka, where you just have this Ebola thing.
Right.
They have the biggest river, most powerful river called Congo on earth. You don't have electricity in some neighborhood of Kinshasa. Why?
It shows you the failure of Kabila's.
No, it's not only Kabila's.
It's Kabila.
It had been since 1960s.
17 years Kabila
so
has not
guys,
done anything.
So, guys, let's stop the accusation game.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back, Gilbert. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our conversations, please call us at 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so stay with us.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat.
The African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct.
And adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the latest political development in the DRC. Unfortunately, my colleague Idrissa Fall had to leave for another assignment. But let me come to you, Jean-Claude. You were about to talk about the ongoing situation in the DRC. Opposition forces not really coming together to form an alliance, possibly, to challenge the ruling party coalition ahead of the elections. Why so many divisions? Why are they not putting their forces together? Because if, as Gilbert says, the Electoral Commission or the election is not organized for the ruling party to win, why don't you prevent them from winning by providing a significant challenge to the ruling coalition?
All right, so that's a very good question. So, and I'm going to try to answer that question, but I really don't know what is going on with those politicians. Let me give you an example. In Congo, we have more than 500 political parties, right? So if you look through their documents, the visions, the missions of the party is all the same, right? Why not come together? So there is no sense of urgency with them. There is no putting country in before personal interests. That's the issue, right? Unless they can come together, they say, okay, look, this is me. I am going to put my ego aside, so I'm going to look for the interests of the party and the population. The population has suffered so long. We want a sustainable peace in our country. Until they do that, we are going to go around and around, and we're still going to face the exact same issue. So now it's time. Now is the moment for them to come together, put their ego aside, they have to sacrifice for the country. If you are a public servant, you are serving the population. You basically hired by the population to serve their cause. Mm-hmm. So what we see often again, like time and time again in Congo, is they want to cling in power. They want to get in a position of privilege because they want to put money in their pocket, right, for them and their family. They're putting the population aside. But I've got hope this time. The Congolese people has matured a little bit in terms of politics. They have put distractions aside, so now they're very focused. They know exactly what is going on in the country compared to years before. They were distracted by music, culture, and those kind of things. They didn't care a lot. Gilbert, so nowadays they care.
Gilbert,
yes.
Is your party, the UDPS, focused? But before I come to you, let me go to the phone lines. Patrick from Nigeria. Good evening, Patrick.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, our guest in the studio.
Greetings to you.
Now that President Kabila has decided to drop his third term bid,
yes.
What happened to the number of people that he has killed? Because when you take the record of the number of people that have died in that DLC during this scheme of Kabila, I think there is need for international criminal court to look into this issue. Because the situation, knowing fully well that he will drop, he will not come back for the first time. Why did he kill so many people? Because of power, so to speak, inside the government. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Let me come to you, Gilbert. You heard his assessment. Yeah. So go with the question, and then you can answer the question. If the UDPS is focused.
The UDPS is very focused. And the UDPS is really prepared for going to the election. It's not a beauty contest. And that's the reason why I told you that right now we are waiting for the provisional list of those who have been confirmed as candidate, presidential candidate. Once that list comes, there will be discussions among the leading contenders and say, listen, what are we going to do? But the people have to be involved in the pressure for these things to happen. And as Jean-Claude just pointed out, is that some people have been accustomed to being in power, and the ego is such that they may not accept some of the things that are coming and say, okay, I will bow and let the other move. So this here is an issue that we have to solve among ourselves and put the people first. Because and that's why you see the slogan that the UDPS has is the people first. We are fighting for the people. For 36 years, we have been in opposition to both Mobutu and both Kabilas for trying to address the issue that the gentleman just called for, because people have been killed. More than 12 million Congolese have been killed. No one talks about it. Recently, you heard about the young girls who have been kept sex slaves. No one talks about it. These are the issues that are in our heart regarding the Congo change that we're trying to get. The change we are yearning for in the Congo is complete rupture with the way Kabila has run that country. And the system has to be really removed so we can give a hope to the country. The youth like him will come back to Congo, give chance to the Congolese to move forward, and the real Congo. How can you have a country that has everything that is needed by the West? You have land, fertile land for agriculture, but misery is our common companion. We should stop this. And this has to stop by the fact that we have to remove this system of Kabila. Idrissa addressed the issue of electricity. Kabila has been there for almost 20 years. He has not done anything about electricity. He himself in his house is using a generator. How do you believe? How can you see that as a head of state, you don't resolve the issues that are confronting your population just for the sake of power, to be in power? That's a joke.
But that means you have to organize people to go and vote. Let me go to another caller from Uganda. Hello, how are you?
Okay.
Hello.
Can
you give us what do you think about the latest development in DRC?
Yes, I'm actually right now watching the interview which is going on the TV. So I'm not always really impressed to see that the Congolese are running away from their homes because of political crisis, political earthquake, which is being produced by some people who are not really leading the country in the right direction. So the best way, I think, to reduce such kind of things is let the opposition to unite, be choose only one candidate. I've seen some of them, at least two of those people on the discussion giving that some idea. That is what is going to correct all the mess, political mess in Congo. If they cannot do that, and be prepared, and then they will be facing the consequence. And some of them will be running, and maybe I will be their host to keep them in mind when they're running.
Thank you very much. Your point is well made. Jean-Claude, your response.
Oh, yes, that's a very good point. I'll give you an example. In our pressure group was created by people of different political views. Where we had people from UDPS, we had people for Apareco, we had people for everywhere. So the reason why we created this is because everywhere we were trying to knock on doors, like in like where people make decisions here, Senate and those kind of thing, they tell us the exact same thing. You come here, somebody came here before you with the exact same issues. So why don't you guys come together? So we have overcome our differences. We stuck together because we want a better Congo. That's the exact same thing those politicians need to do. They need to sacrifice for 5 years, right? Clean up the system. Come together. Choose one candidate. So who's going to lead you guys to bring sustainable change to Congo? Because Congo has a problem of leadership. They want somebody clean, somebody who has the trust of the people to lead that country, to eradicate corruption. So if you bring somebody from the system like Emmanuel Shadari, how could you choose a person who is under sanctions for being part of the crime in Kasai, for example? He's under sanctions. He cannot travel in Europe. His asset has been frozen. Everybody knows that. That's a fact. And you're putting that person as your leading candidate, right? There's a cloud in front of him. So that means that's a good signal. They want to remain. They want the system to stay forever.
Jean-Claude, we'll have to continue this discussion another time, and Gilbert as well. On that note, my guest were Idrissa Fall, my VOA colleague from the French to Africa service, Jean-Claude Nkongolo, president of the Congolese United for Change in the DRC, a political pressure group, and Gilbert Mundela, former representative of the Opposition Union for Democracy and Social Progress in the United States. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Batty. I'm Peter Clotty. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in. Have a great evening.